If you have your Bible with you this morning, if you can take it and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24, we're looking at verses 13 through 35 here in just a moment as we continue through this series on questions that Jesus asked. And this morning, we're going to look at the question, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Expectations and disappointments, they're a part of life. Several years ago, I had a college student who was trying her hand at making chocolate-covered candies, and so she brought them into our college ministry one night to share them with everybody, and so she was passing those around, and I grabbed a piece, and I bit into a really good piece of chocolate-covered peanut butter. But as I was looking around, there were others in the room that really weren't as excited about what they were eating, and as I began to look, there was a student next to me who had bitten into a piece of chocolate-covered cotton ball. Another student had chocolate-covered caramel, and that looked really good, but somebody else was eating a chocolate-covered olive, and they had a wrinkle in their mouth. And then I had another student who was eating chocolate-covered peanuts, and that looked really good. And then I noticed a student that had a pinkish kind of thing inside of theirs, and I was trying to figure out what it was, and they were kind of gagging, and I quickly realized it was chocolate-covered potted meat. Not really good at all. Expectations? I'm getting some chocolate. Disappointments? Potted meat. That would be greatly disappointing. Expectations and disappointments, part of life. Part of life. You know, maybe we've had big plans, and then as we had these plans, something comes up, and then they're gone. Maybe we've started a new job, and we've been super excited about the new job and the new opportunity, and then it doesn't go as planned. For many of us, we're living in that time right now where we have expectations that aren't going to be met. Now, our high school seniors, they're really struggling right now. Their last couple months of their senior year, they should be spent with their friends. They should be spent finishing their sports seasons. They should be finishing their choir concerts, their band concerts, and their orchestra concerts. They should be doing prom and getting ready for graduation. But instead, they're doing online school, and this new term of social distancing has become part of their vocabulary, expectations and disappointments. For many of us, plans have had to be adjusted, and we're tired, and we're frustrated, and we're discouraged. And sometimes these disappointments, they can consume us, and they can take our eyes off of what we know to be true, and they can hinder our lives, and they can leave us in despair. And this is where we find the disciples in today's message. As we look at this passage today, they are tired, and they're dejected, and they're afraid, and they're struggling as their world seems to be crashing in around them. They are walking away from Jerusalem. They're not with the other disciples. They had given up. You see, prior to his arrest, Jesus had walked this same road, and he had invited people to become a part of his kingdom. And he said, if you come to me, I will give you abundant life. And his followers, they were expecting the king to be the king of Israel, and then Israel would again be free, and he was their Messiah. But just a few days earlier, as the sun fell on the horizon, Jesus hung cold, lifeless, on a Roman cross just outside the city walls. He was put into a grave. And here it is, Sunday morning. The Passover feast has come to an end. And the dejected disciples are on the 7-mile walk to Emmaus. Even as rumors have been circulating about the possibility of Jesus resurrecting, and disciples have been talking about this, they are leaving Jerusalem and walking away. And as they're walking away, Luke describes their conversation as they're sharing ideas back and forth with great emotion, as they're searching for some answers. They desperately want to know why the expectations of the Messiah have come to this tragic end. We sometimes find ourselves in the same position, discouraged, giving up, in search for answers and not being able to find them. And like these men, our eyes are in the wrong place, and we're heading in the wrong direction. Like them, we need an encounter with a resurrected Jesus, and a refocus in our life, and a refocus in our purpose. And so let's read about this together in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and let's answer this question. Let's look at the answer to this question that Jesus asked. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have taken place here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us, and they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that he had also had a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day as it is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread." See, we live in this time, and without resurrection, we need to understand that there is no hope. And we live in a life that has disappointments. The disciples, they had a preconceived idea of who Jesus was. They had an idea of what Jesus came to do, and they had an idea of exactly how Jesus should do it. But when things did not turn out like they thought they should, they dismissed the whole thing as a failure. They felt they had misplaced their hope and their trust. And so as they are traveling, this is the discussion that they're having. Possibly even debating the report of the resurrection, but struggling with everything that had happened in the last 2 days. And then Jesus shows up. He shows up and he comes and he asks them a question designed to engage them in conversation. And I like how you read through the Gospels. You see Jesus doing this a lot as he asks these questions and engages people in conversations. And he says, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you were walking?" And Cleopas responds. He gives a reply, and I find his reply rather humorous when he says, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened over these days?" Now, think about what maybe was going through Jesus' mind as he heard this question. Do you not understand? And Jesus is like, "Well, I seem to remember being beaten, and I seem to remember carrying my cross and having people driving nails through my hands and my feet. And I seem to remember being placed in a tomb, and I've been pretty busy over the last 3 days. And just wait till you realize what I was up to here this morning. Do you not realize Jesus knew exactly what had happened?" They didn't understand. And they didn't understand, and they were left with some faulty perspectives. See, they had a viewpoint that lacked a spiritual dimension. They were looking at things from a human understanding of the events, and they were missing out on the spiritual application. Take note of how Cleopas characterized the death of Jesus in verses 19 and 20. He said, "The things about Jesus, a Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to their presence of death and crucified him." See, they recognized Jesus as a prophet, but they missed Jesus as God. They missed the divinity of who he was. They saw the rulers crucify Jesus, But what they missed was that these rulers didn't take the life of Jesus. They missed the fact that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. See, they saw the ending of a story, but the story was far from over. They understood a limited vision, but they were missing out on a great spiritual dimension that was about to change the world. How often does our limited view, how often does our limited understanding keep us from seeing great things that God is doing and great things that God may have? Well, why? Well, I think we're like them. See, their agenda determined their expectations. What they thought determined what they expected. In verse 21, it says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it was the third day since all of this had happened." The disciples had made a mistake. They made a mistake thinking that the Messiah was going to recapture the glory days of the King David. That's what they were expecting to happen. They were expecting that Jesus was going to come and he was going to raise Israel back up to the power and the prosperity that she once had. But instead, the reality that they saw laying before them was continued Roman oppression. The reality that they saw before them was a dead Messiah. Their hopes for the glory they thought was going to happen seemed to have been utterly destroyed. Unmet expectations, but wrong expectations. Could this be a lesson for us today? Could we be missing something because what God is doing doesn't run with our agenda? Our agenda is not the same as his agenda, because we have our own view of God and we have our own view of what God should do. We have our own view of who God is. And when he does something different from that, then we begin to question and we have a crisis in our life and we see everything crashing down. See, these men, they failed to acknowledge the resurrection. In verse 23, it says, "And they did not find his body. They came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." They failed to acknowledge the resurrection. These two men, they failed to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, because if they believed that Jesus rose from the dead, two things would have been true. First, they would have been walking to Jerusalem, not away from Jerusalem. They'd have been going to see the risen Lord instead of walking away. And second, they would have seen the trials, the crucifixion, the burial of Jesus. They would have saw this as a fulfillment of all that Jesus had promised. Instead, they saw it as the end of their hopes and dreams. While God always has a plan, we don't always get to know what God's plan is. We aren't always privy to his plan. When things don't turn out the way that we expect, instead of giving up and instead of admitting defeat, perhaps we should be wise to maybe see things differently. Maybe to see if God is up to something that we simply can't understand. Maybe this needs to be a time that we run to the resurrected Savior and not away from the resurrected Savior. See, because without the resurrection, we live without a life without faith. They had heard the reports. The women had went to the tomb and they came and they said that he is not there. They heard the reports. They knew of the empty tomb, and yet they had not believed. See, the supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead, this was outside of their comprehension. Although they had heard Jesus teach, although they had heard his claims, they still struggled to see what was true. And they never truly grasped who Jesus was. Just because they had been with Jesus doesn't mean they really came to a point they knew him. And just because they could see him and they're spending time with him doesn't mean they can really see who Jesus was. And we need to be careful not to make the same mistake. Not to discount what God has done or who God is simply because we cannot explain him and because we do not understand him. See, many people today, they know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They've read about him. They've used his name, and many even claim to know him. But they wouldn't recognize Jesus if they saw him. They wouldn't recognize Jesus if he came into their presence. Their eyes have not been opened to the truth of him. See, knowing about him and knowing him are two different things. knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus are not the same. And perhaps here's the difference. Knowing about the resurrection does not bring us hope. Knowing the resurrected one, that's what brings us hope. Knowing Jesus. And that is why Jesus maybe asked a question. Maybe that's why he said these words and asked a question in Luke 24, 25 through 26. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Jesus died on a cross. Jesus put in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He rose again. He's alive. We can repent of our sins, turn to him, trust in him, have forgiveness of sin, and have eternal life. Was it necessary? Was it not necessary? Yes, it is necessary, because resurrection is the hope for those that believe. Let's look at verses 27 and 28. He says, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where he was going, and he acted as though he were going further." Resurrection is the hope, and it was the hope for believers throughout history. In verse 27, it says, "The beginning with Moses and from the prophets, he explained to them all the things concerning himself and all the scriptures." To help these followers really understand who he was, Jesus begins reviewing the history of Israel, leading up to his own resurrection, highlighting God's plan for the Messiah. Now, I don't know what passages he used. I don't know how long he spoke and what all he went through. But he went through and he began in the Old Testament. He began walking through the Old Testament and pointing to them how he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Maybe he started in Genesis 3:15, where God cursed the serpent, saying, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. I will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And maybe from there, he spent some time in Deuteronomy, and maybe he used Deuteronomy 18:15, where he says, "The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet from me, from among you, from your own countrymen. You must listen to him." Maybe Jesus spent some time in the book of Isaiah as he's talking to them, and he used passages like Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." Maybe he spent some time in Isaiah 53, where it is said, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." Maybe he spent more time in Isaiah 53 in verse 7, where he says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to a slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shears." Maybe from there Jesus went to Zechariah and he spent some time talking about Zechariah chapter 12, and maybe used a passage like in verse 10, where he says, "I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. So they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn." Now, I don't know what all Jesus did, but he walked through the entirety of the revelation of who he was to show a witness as to who Jesus was and why he had come and why it was necessary for him to suffer these things. Jesus wanted them to see that if they would only believe the scriptures, if they could only believe what the scriptures said about him, then they would really understand why he came and why he had to suffer. And then they would really understand and know who he was. The scriptures continue to point to Jesus. The scriptures give testimony to who he is. And we can use scriptures today to open up our eyes and to see Jesus and to know who he was. In John 1:45, Philip goes and he finds Nathanael and he says, "We have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And so we have Philip recorded. He met Jesus and he says, "This is who the prophets wrote about." And he went and he got Nathanael and said, "Come, meet the one whom I know about." And Romans 10:9-10 say that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. See, many people are going to try to tell us who Jesus is. They're going to tell us that there are, he's maybe one way of many ways to get to heaven. They'll tell us that Jesus was a good man. They may tell you that Jesus was a great prophet. They may tell you that Jesus was a good teacher. They may tell you that Jesus was a rebel who came to defy the Roman authorities. But outside of the knowledge of Scripture, we never really gain a proper understanding of who Jesus is. He is the Christ who came to take away the sins of the world. He is the only way of salvation. Not only is he the only way of salvation, he is salvation. This is who Jesus is. And Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jesus walked through this revelation of himself. And as he walked through this revelation of himself, and as he said and he taught these men about who he was throughout Scripture, we see that the resurrection offers us life change. Let's look at the last part of this passage in verses 29 through 35. They urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning with us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the Scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 who were with them, saying the Lord was really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road, how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Luke concludes the story here with a bit of irony. The disciples had been staring into the face of the risen Savior the whole time, and yet they had been prevented from seeing who he really was until they buried their expectations and they looked at who he was. In verse 31, it says their eyes were opened. It is not without significance that it was around a supper table that the disciples were opened to really see who Jesus was. As they came into an intimate time of fellowship with Jesus, he reveals himself to them. And once their eyes were open, the reality of the implications of the resurrection became visible to their physical eyes. But not just their physical eyes. The reality of the resurrection opened their eyes spiritually to the truth of who Jesus was. When they recognized him, he disappears. You see, continued fellowship with him and fellowship with Jesus, it doesn't depend on our ability to see him. It depends on our ability to have faith in who he is. And this gives a lasting change into the lives and hearts of believers. The resurrection brings a lasting change, a permanent change. When our eyes are open, we're going to want everybody else to have their eyes opened as well. Can you imagine the excitement that they must have felt? It says they had a burning in their hearts as they heard Jesus teach. The excitement that they felt, their encounter with Jesus had been emotional. It had stirred them from the inside. It had moved in their hearts. And once they were moved, they couldn't help but share. It says that very hour, remember, it's nighttime now. They had supper that very hour. No matter the fact it was after dark, they began to travel back. Regardless of how dangerous it might have been to travel the road to Jerusalem, they went. They gave witness to who Jesus was. They gave witness to that they had met and encountered the resurrected Savior. And they had walked with him and they had talked with him. And that he explained Scriptures to them. And they had broke bread with him. And their lives were changed and they were excited. And they wanted everybody to know. We're here this morning. We're celebrating the resurrected Savior. We're here this morning. This should bring excitement to our lives. God has changed us. And we should want everybody to know. Everyone who has experienced this should have similar emotions to the disciples here. We've come to know him, and we should respond in the same way. We should not be able to contain the joy and the excitement and the hope that God brings to us. So how do we respond to the message? How do we respond to the message of the resurrection? Consider our answer to that question that Jesus asked. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Why is it necessary? Well, it's necessary so that we can invite God into our lives. Have you here this morning accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? These disciples, they looked at Jesus, they encountered Jesus, and it changed their life. If we haven't began a relationship with God, then we're going to continue to struggle through life. And we're going to continue to live life with no hope. We're going to continue to live life apart from Him for eternity. This morning, here this morning, invite Jesus to change your life. Turn away from your sins and invite Jesus in and recognize who He is. Was it necessary? Well, it was necessary so that we can see life through God's perspectives. To help the disciples see their circumstances different from God's, Jesus began to explain the scripture to him. We need to see things through God's perspectives, and that means we need to open up the scriptures and read the scriptures and see how God views things and understand how God views things and dig into His Word and learn about Him and learn about His plan. Why is this necessary? Because we need to understand the importance of trusting in God and trusting in His timing. See, God in His perfect timing, in His own discernment, He opened the eyes of these two men. He didn't do it too early. He didn't do it too late. He let them for a little while not recognize Him, but when the time was right, He opened their eyes to who He was. See, spiritual growth requires us to be on a journey with God. And a journey takes some time. And as we go through life, we can't expect God to show us everything all at once. We're on a journey. And on this journey, we trust in Him. And on this journey, we trust in His timing. And on this journey, we see that God is faithful. Now think about the journey the disciples went on with Jesus. He called them early on in the Gospels and said, come with me. And they went on a journey with Jesus. And they got to a point, ups and downs, and they get to a point where Jesus goes to a cross. And in their minds, the journey ended. In their minds, it came crashing down. But there was a resurrection. And there was hope. And their journey was really just beginning. And their journey continued on. And today, as we sit here, these same men are enjoying eternity in fellowship with Jesus. The journey continues. So this morning, do you know Jesus? This morning, have your eyes been opened to who He is and what He has done for you? Do you know this morning? Look, do you know that He walks with you and He talks with you? Can you testify about the presence of Jesus in your life? Do you have fellowship with Him? Have your experience with Jesus been so real that it consumes who you are and it moves your life and changes you and you can't help but tell everybody about what Jesus has done for you? We celebrate a risen Savior. So this morning, what do you do with the risen Savior? And how do you respond to the message of the resurrection?